This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Yeah, just a heads up too, this weekend we'll get the 500th show for the Jolene Roxbury Hour. God dang, I'm old. So that and the Metallica thing, I'm feeling old today. So that show tomorrow, 500th show. Also, celebrating the 500th show of the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour, the Blue Angels are going to fly a show in honor of Jolene Roxbury. That's happening tomorrow. And, of course, Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. Take the kids fishing down at the island, the precursor to the big rodeo that is less than a week away. And thank you. This is... So, Tony Ann, and now Terry saying, Sean, Metallica is grandpa rock. Every member is over 60. I get it. I'm just saying, when I'm watching this drone hype video, so there's SecDef standing in front of the Pentagon, and he's younger than I am, and Metallica's playing in the background. It makes me realize I'm now the age, now I'm those people that were old when I was young. Let me check out the opinion here from my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. So I'm watching this video, John, about the something I've been asking about a long time. When are we going to start producing like the less expensive drones, you know, for warfare? Like we're, you know, the Houthis use a $20,000 drone and we use a $2 million missile to take them out. Like the math doesn't add up. So they had this video come out to say we're going to switch. I think so. Thank you that the federal government Pentagon was listening to me all these years. And in the background, John, is Metallica. I mean, you'd think, like when I was, I mean, I'm sure there's kids listening like, oh, that old grandpa music, but I guess I'm old grandpa mode now that Metallica is old people's music. It's like,
well, did you see over the 4th of July weekend, it popped up on my Facebook feed, I totally missed this, but apparently has got nothing but rave reviews, was the last performance of Black Sabbath in England. And
yes.
Ozzy Osbourne, who is... 77 years old, and you know his movement mobility is limited because of Parkinson's disease. But he sang five or six songs. This is incredible to see, and all the outpouring of all these former metal heads from back in the day that we used to listen
to. No, we're young. We're not old.
Metallica.
We're young. Don't tell me we've gotten old. Yes, that came up. So we're hanging out during the weekend of the 4th there, we're on, at Dolphin Island, we're hanging out at the campground, and several people came up, and this discussion came up, and then I guess they had the live feed from that show in Birmingham, England, and they're playing that, you know, then they played a clip there, somebody on their phone was playing a clip, when Ozzy's singing, Mama, I'm Coming Home, and then people are starting to tear up. It's like, because he truly is like, at that age, yes, I guess this is my wake-up call that I'm now 53 years old, and I guess it's time to be a grown-up. I guess I will.
Well, let me throw it back to you here. Back in the early 90s, I went to an Ozzy Osbourne concert. It was called the No More Tours Tour. he was retiring, and this was, you know, what do you go, 30-plus years ago. So, you know, the retirement tour has been going on for a long time. These rock stars, they don't know exactly when to call it quits, but rave reviews from his performance, the very last one we've been told.
I've heard it was great, and like I said, it must be online somewhere because they're playing a clip from it. We're down there. Listen, the rock tours doing the final one is like them in furniture stores. They're always going out of business, and you're right. You're like, man, didn't y'all go out of business last year? And then you're going out of business again this year, and once again, going out of business. So same thing. They keep on going. Got to track that. Yes. Can somebody give me a chart of the number of furniture stores that say they're going out of business and then continue, and bands that say this is our final tour, and then next year they're back on their second final tour. We'll be looking for that. Hey, John, a lot to talk about that you have up over at AL.com. This one goes at this conversation from when this started to the different stories added to it have driven a lot of conversation here at FM Talk, and that is that raid, the immigration raid down in Gulf Shores at the high school. Your latest here, Gulf Shores officials criticize Homeland Security over the immigration raid. Now, so what's being said here? Who's saying it?
So this all came out on Monday at the city council meeting. At the very end of the meeting, Councilman Philip Harris, who is the mayor pro tem made some statements, which he outlined kind of the the views are from the city of Gulf Shores, that here are the facts of the situation. This is, you know, there's been some discussion or some conversation, he says, it's gone beyond Gulf Shores, that their school collapsed. And there was a collapse, but it occurred back in January after the snowstorm. And that much, I don't, and that's one of the things that, you know, it's kind of like more of the story here, that this collapse didn't actually occur to the school. It occurred to the athletic facility. It was actually the steel frame of the facility was being put up at the time. And that was the collapse. And that's what Councilman Harris wanted to make a point of, that, hey, you know, our school didn't collapse. This addendum to the school, which is the athletic facility, and it wasn't even, the facility wasn't even up. It was just kind of the frame, the outline of the building was put up. And that's what collapsed. And it only occurred a few days after we had this unprecedented snowstorm that this area is not accustomed to.
Yeah, and now, so listen, there's probably people listening here can tell me why, because I know that maybe before they get them shelled in or dried in, those structures seem like, because there's one at the University of South Alabama that happened. I mean, that's been years ago, but so maybe, I don't know, does that mean they're not put up correctly, or they have a, you know, time when they're weak, when they're just framed and they're not dried in? I don't know that.
Right. So at that point in the construction process, we don't know on, you know, whether or not this was a, you know, the facility is able to withstand this type of weather or not, or if there's more at play here, which is where DHS comes in. And there were some comments made to on the TV stations locally back in late June, and they were reiterated back to me as a reaction to the city of Gulf Shores' statements about what happened regarding this collapse that occurred back in January. And the quote I got back from Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin said that, you know, when a school, taxpayer-funded school building collapses during construction, all potential contributing factors should be investigated. And, you know, and then, you know, the comment further goes on saying employers who cut corners by exploiting illegal labor undermine lawful American workers and put the public safety at risk, and they should be investigated. So there is that feeling from DHS that, hey, you know, when we went, you know, this raid occurred on June 24th, 37 immigrants arrested placed in detainment, or whatever the phrase you want to use on that. And as a result, DHS has kind of connected the use of undocumented workers on site to this construction snafu that occurred back in January. And that's where Gulf Shores is saying, well, wait a minute here. Rayburn Construction is the general contractor. They've built all these other buildings, and they're from Alabama, and they've built all these other structures throughout the state. You know, they're high quality. It's not like we, you know. So they've gone on and defended the contractor, the general contractor on the job. And so that's kind of where we're at. I think that's what Monday's council meeting was all about. Councilman Harris was saying, was defending, you know, the city's choice of Rayburn contractor. Defending that, you know, the fact that they, you know, that they're well vetted, they were the low bidder on the project, they were the ones that they went with because they've done a lot of quality work throughout the state at Auburn University. They built high schools before, they're building Gulf Shores High School, and they have no concerns about the quality of construction on site. And and the reason why there was this collapse was as a result of Mother Nature and not the quality of workers on site. Although DHS disputes this, they're saying, hey, you know, this needs to be investigated. And so that's kind of where we're at. It's kind of, it's you know, and I got a comment back from Councilman Harris today, actually saying that, you know, that he wasn't trying to disparage DHS or the immigration raid. They support that. The city does, certainly. They're not trying to get in a battle with the federal government over what was going on site. He's just saying that, hey, look, I laid out the facts from our perspective on the quality of construction of this high school, and you know, the reason why this incident occurred back in January had to do with the snowstorm, not because undocumented workers can't do the job. You know, and he made some strong comments back on Monday saying that, you know, Homeland Security can't prove otherwise. You know, they can't prove that these workers are not able to do this work. And I think that kind of maybe upset or drew out that comment from the Department of Homeland Security later on in the week. So it's kind of where we're at. I mean, those are the two sides right now.
I want to read that, though. Because John, and y'all can read this in his story, but he's quoting this, you know, this email he gets back from DHS Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin in an email. This portion of it, y'all, this is what John posts here. Let me read it. This is from Tricia McLaughlin. Despite the fake narrative that this city councilman is trying to push about our brave ICE officers, this operation is about the rule of law, safety, and accountability. The illegal aliens ICE took into custody had charges ranging from DUI with property damage to domestic violence and outstanding warrants. One individual arrested also had charges for assaulting a federal agent. All potential contributing factors should be investigated. That's just a little bit of it. Y'all can read through it on the show. I mean, that's not mincing words. That's not political speak. We've talked about this so many times. Is general contractors default to subcontractors to know who's working for them? I don't think the city of Gulf Shores is, if the contractor says we've got legal people working, they don't have to e-verify. But a bunch of people are pointing at each other right now.
Yeah, that's correct. And but Rabrum handled that. Let's go back to the January collapse. Rabrum contractors handled supposedly, according to the city of Gulf Shores, they handled the expenditure of fixing this problem. And however they handled it within the overall scheme of the contract, I'm not sure. But this is not something that was added on to the taxpayer's bill. But there's finger pointing going on right now, and this is such a high profile. Yes. I mean, this is a high profile political issue nationally, so it's coming back down to us locally when we're talking about this type of issue. Yeah, I mean, you know, immigration enforcement right now that we're seeing throughout the country and on construction sites. There's been a lot of discussion too. You know, the contractors are getting slaps on the wrist. You see it in these comment sections. Every story we post, any story you see posted, television accounts or whatever, of these raids, it's kind of like, well, what about the contractors? And that's a good question too that I don't think has really been vetted out on the federal side of things either. That, you know, you're seeing folks being detained, arrested, and you know, we're building alligator Alcatraz, and we're talking about that one in Alabama, even though I talked to an ICE official this past week and said that he's not aware of anything like that in Alabama right now. But that's the conversation that we're having nationally. But these sites were, you know, that those that are hiring the workers are, you know, what about them? I keep seeing that over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting development as well.
We've had this conversation so many times on the show over the years and probably will continue. I remember back when, like, they even came to us because ICE was in this building we're in. And, you know, one of my buddies worked for them, came down and said, are y'all doing e-verify? And I think, John, I had five people working here at the time. I'm like, I'd have known all of them. I'm like, no, but I will. I mean, he's like, you better. So, and then that was going to be the big fix, right? It was going to be this online thing. And then here we are 20 years later or whatever, 16, 17 years later. And it's like, I thought y'all had it fixed with e-verify, you know, but leaves me scratching my head on that. We'll see. And we'll see how many, you know, there were some numbers, some federal numbers. I just saw them in passing, didn't read the story, but was showing the number of jobs that have been abandoned by people that we would guess would be illegal immigrants, and the number of American-born jobs coming up. So maybe that's a turn in it. While we're in South Baldwin, I want to ask you this before we wrap up. So this is after I had a conversation, and you know the hype is out there about, and you've reported on the Brooklyn field, you know, the Mobile Airport, and a little bit of delay in the opening, but they're going to do this. All in the meantime, Gulf Shores Airport has opened, and now you have a headline that says considers expansion. John, they just opened.
Yeah, Two-Gate Airport that just opened on May 21st. That was the first flight into Gulf Shores,
and now they're talking about expanding.
Right, they've seen 10,000 enplanements. Yeah, 10,000 enplanements since then. Legion Air has six destinations going out of Gulf Shores. That's not huge, but that's a great start. And they're going to be adding on a couple other destinations in October. Allegiant Air is a major player in the low what do you call it, the low-cost carrier market. Yeah, they're the big dogs. I mean, they've been doing it for over 20 years. So it's not just some fly-by-night plane, commercial
pun
operator
intended.
Coming into town.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, pun intended. So, but they've been around for a while. They're well-known. I've flown with them before. I fly with them a lot to go back to my hometown to see my family and that. And there's pluses and minuses in my personal opinion with them, but they are popular. They have a strong presence down here, and they're really all in with Gulf Shores. So that's exciting for Gulf Shores. I mean, they're definitely invested in that airport. It'll be interesting to see if any other airlines come to that airport. But right now, Allegiant Air has put their footprint in there, and they see an advantage. I mean, the airport's only about 3 miles from the beaches. I mean, it's right mm-hmm. there. It's actually, and as a comparison, I've always used the Northwest Florida Beaches Airport over in Destin, Fort Walton Beach. And that airport's a little bit more of a distance to the beaches, and it's not the most convenient to get to sometimes, but it is really expanded to the point where if you count employments, it would rank in Alabama as probably the second or third largest airport in the state
wow.
if it was in Alabama. And that's
so Gulf Shores could be there. I mean, where they're
exactly.
tracking, they could be. That's why I had this conversation with Luckett Robinson the other day, talking about the Mobile Airport. I have not talked to somebody with Pensacola Airport, but I got to believe they're eyeing this. If you're those two airports, you're Mobile, the current terminal or the soon to be in a few years, Berkeley, or a couple of years, Berkeley terminal, or your Pensacola International, you got to look at Gulf Shores and say, those jokers are expanding already. Uh-oh.
Well, and Pensacola International is undergoing expansion itself. And I don't have the numbers up with me right now, but you're talking about adding several extra gates to their airport. So they're already planning expansion, probably keeping an eye on what's going on in Mobile, because Mobile's moving the airport closer to Baldwin County. And Baldwin County's been a strong market for Pensacola over the years. So, yeah, we got a little bit of an airport. I hate to call it airport wars, but that's
kind of
you can. But we have a little bit of interesting competition, and I think they all serve different niches. Though, I mean, Mobile's looking at a different niche. It's not the same as Gulf Shores, where Allegiant is not going to be in Mobile most likely, but they are in Gulf Shores to provide that type of travel to Midwestern vacationers coming down to Alabama's beaches. And you're not going to see necessarily that coming in the Mobile. It would be more of the legacy airlines like Delta, American Airlines, and the various destinations that we have currently. And they're hoping to expand upon that at Mobile International. So there are differences, obviously, in the type of markets that are served.
Very good. John, this is the tip of the iceberg here. Stories John has over at AL.com. You can check them out there. And John, if they want to go to you directly on social media, where do they find you?
I'm on the X at JohnSharp99, Blue Sky as well, and Threads.
Threads, and you let the MySpace thing go away?
MySpace is gone. And if I'm on MySpace, I'm unaware of it.
It's not the real John Sharp if you're finding him on MySpace.
There's somebody else.
Hey, have a great weekend, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sean. Thanks.
All right, there goes John, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:56, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Let's grab some text here before we get to the news. And some more commentary on my happiness that in the back of the drone video with SecDef, Hegseth, Metallica was playing, but it also makes me realize, like, now that's old people music, and I'm old people, I guess. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach, he said, have you learned yet that the volume knob on the radio turns to the left if you are getting old? What I've done forever, though, and I've been made fun of for my whole life, Even when I was loud rocking teenager, I'm a loud rocking adult too, when I'm not bothering other people, that I have to turn the radio down to concentrate sometimes. Like, I used to get dogged out by my buddies. We're trying to figure out, like, you know, kids back in the day, we didn't have directions on our phone. You'd have to, like, pull the Rand McNally out. And I'm like, would you turn down the Motley Crue for a second? I got to figure out we turn here or not. And they're like, what does it matter? I'm like, I don't know. I have to have, turn it down. And we'll make the right, we'll make the proper turn, and then we'll rock. Dirt Digger said, Sean, we might be older, but we are smarter than the new generation. We didn't rely on smartphones. We could read maps. Oh, look at this. I didn't even know you were going there. We could read maps and then go drive to get to where we're going. Very funny, Dirt Digger. That was my same thought. Oh, the old Rand McNally Atlas. I think I've told that story before. My mother kept the family Rand McNally Atlas. Here's some 80s stuff for y'all. Y'all, if you children of the 70s and 80s would get this. It stayed in the drawer where she also kept, ready, 80s? The potpourri. Remember potpourri? And be all around the house. Of like, it looked like some, I don't know, dried out cereal and flowers and stuff that had some kind of perfume on it. And they put it. So the Rand McNally Atlas would stay in that same drawer. So when we go on the family trip, all right, pull the old Atlas out. And then the whole time your fingers would smell like potpourri. The Caprice Classic cloth seats would end up smelling like potpourri. If I could only have that, if I opened Google Maps and had the scent of potpourri, nostalgic for sure. All right, coming back. Yes, Haywood said, turn it down so I can see. Haywood, I mean, I'm on the same page. It's always been an affliction of mine. All right, be right back. More Midday Mobile. I'm here with Chris Francis, one of the area's top arborists specializing in taking care of trees. What's new at Chris Francis Tree Care?
Well, we have a bunch of work lined up, and we're growing to meet the demand. We just don't have enough people to get the jobs done.
So you're looking for experienced tree workers?
We would love to add experienced arborists to our team if they're the right fit, but we're hiring on all levels, and we provide training and an opportunity for advancement through our career ladder. And we're talking full-time, year-round.
So you're just looking for warm bodies, man? What?
No, we're particular about who we hire. We're looking for mature, responsible adults. At minimum, all applicants must have a driver's license, reliable transportation, pass a drug test, and a background check. But mostly, we're looking for certain character traits that will make someone a good fit with our culture.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, the pay is nice, too, and we have loads of benefits.
Okay, so how does someone apply?
Easy. Just call the office at 251-4-TREE, 367-8733. Or for more information, then go to our website, chrisfrancistreecare.com.
Don't take chances. Call Chris Francis.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5, WAVH-FM, Daphne Baymanette Mobile.